fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. I'm in the studio with Dan Dugan.
Hey there, the other guy on the other side of the news here. It's good to be around at these times.
And we're privileged to be on the phone with the legendary, and I use that term very seldom, legendary organizer, Wade Rathke, the founder of ACORN, which I consider to be the premier community organizing group in American history. And in part, next Thursday, the organizer will be presented by the Columbus Free Press, the documentary about called The Organizer is about Wade Rathke and his organization, ACORN. And that will be being played 7 to 9 p.m. At the Drexel Theater on behalf of the Columbus International Film and Animation Festival. Welcome to the other side of the news, Wade.
I can't tell you. I mean, the introduction is so good. I'd like to thank both of you, and let's just cut the show off right there before we get into the high weeds.
There you go. Real quick, I want to point out that ACORN stands for the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. As an old canvasser, I had to learn that for out on the doors, but make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. So.
And
we spent a couple of minutes before we went on the air talking about old time. So it's been a long world. I'm glad to hear that both of you and I crossed paths in the past.
There you go. We're still surviving the struggle, as it were. You and Bob had hooked up in Detroit when Bob was up that way and had a lot of ACORN people hang out at his house or stay at his house. And you said you stayed a night or two in the Motor City with Bob.
I definitely know I stayed at least one night for sure, because I remember it well. And from time to time, I run into people that were sort of there. Now I'm not remembering the last name I did run into, and I said, "Oh yeah, back when."
But it's
always good to have a place to put your head during those days, and that's still true today.
That's for sure.
And the reality of what you were doing there, you know, in retrospect, this was the 1980s. This was fighting Reagan and Reaganomics. This was 800 fires in one night on Devil's Night, you know, like Dante's Inferno.
Here in Detroit,
it's that,
right?
I can't believe the dedication. And the whole organization really was based on getting local people to stand up and fight back from a corrupt city machine at the time. I don't even know how it's possible. In retrospect, it seems like a dream, but you were able to energize so many people. Where did that vision come from, Wade?
We really wanted to build a vehicle where low to moderate income families could meet together collectively, take action that would empower them and deal with longstanding grievances. And whether we were organizing in Columbus, and the issue that Dan was talking about had to do with squatting and particularly HUD houses. I mean, you wouldn't have believed that HUD would have been the worst of those folks who had abandoned properties in those times.
They were the biggest slumlord in the city, I remember, at the time.
So. Exactly, and, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I think they arrested us the second we crossed the door. And it was like they were a rough customer. And then in Detroit, it was GM World Headquarters, which was displacing people. I mean, you go to Detroit today, as I was there in the spring on this campaign we're involved in now, the ACORN Home Savers campaign, hitting the doors again, and there's acres and acres of abandoned property, and now it's gone back to sort of natural selection, as Darwin would call it. But then we were trying to keep them.
Gentrification, right? Right.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And GM and others played a huge role in that. And we didn't have much help from Mayor Coleman Young at that time, as you recall.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've... you know, we could all be like Lyndon Johnson and raise our shirts. We've got scars to show.
There you go,
but,
man.
The important thing about Acorn is, you know, certainly from 1970, June 18th of 1970, was founded and in the U.S., operated for almost 40 years, 38 years. I was chief organizer and still work with Acorn International in 15 countries, including the U.S., around the world. I mean, this is just something people want to do. They've got issues. They need organization. They want to be able to take action and frankly, win and build and go to the future. But it's a struggle that keeps on going and keeps on going. As you all say, the other part of the news is what's not reported is often these kinds of fights.
Well, Wade, there's one other thing, and I'm sure the movie that's on, I want to remind people, on March 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Drexel. I'm sure
Wade will be there.
Will be there. I'm sure it'll point out that it is the people who live in these neighborhoods who are doing the speaking, and they are heading up the campaigns, and the organizers are not the focal point of what's going on. It's the people in their neighborhoods, that model of grassroots organizing. So, you know, I always thought that was a really important point to remember, that we weren't, and I was just a canvasser, but I did a little organizing with, we weren't the ones. Just Kate Poe, for instance, from Columbus, wasn't the one who did all the talking. That was the members who spoke up, so... And
we
yourself,
had great leaders in Columbus, great leaders in Detroit, great leaders everywhere. And you know, I've now, I just got back to the U.S. I was in Europe and the United Kingdom for the last month talking about both Nuts and Bolts, the Acorn Fundamentals of Organizing, which is a new book I've put together over the last number of years to try to tell the Acorn story in terms of how to do it, not just war stories, but how you'd put each piece together, but also answering questions on the documentary. So this was a documentary that was put together by two young men, one from Toronto, Nick Taylor, and Joey Carey from Brooklyn. It's not our movie. We wouldn't have named it this way. There's some parts of it that, you know, aren't quite the plum, but where it is a brilliant job is the archival footage and the interviews, just as you were saying, Bob, with a number of our leaders. They've got probably a dozen, both historically and contemporarily, are in the documentary, giving their kind of point of view about the value of the organization, how it worked. And the point you're making has come out just over and over again. And it was the strength of Acorn.
Absolutely.
And again, I'm on a KeyWiki, which is a National Review right wing, and one of the things they attacked me for is defending Acorn. And part of that is...
We're not popular with the right wing.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
I mean, that I should have warned you about that, Dan, but...
Yeah, I know.
If you're on that wiki, you already know.
You ruined my whole career, Wade. It's all your fault.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one.
but it's, I don't know, what is the actual status of Acorn now? Are you still operating worldwide? Are you still functioning at what level in the U.S.?
The Acorn obviously took a huge beating in 2009 and 2010, first with scurrilous accusations around voter registration, where John McCain in the election against Barack Obama accused the organization of voter fraud, none of which was established. And then the following year, in 2009, I guess that was 2008 during the election, that November, and then in 2009, the sort of widely discredited video scams
right.
that
And it was a scam.
But, you were guilty of registering poor people.
Guilty, yeah.
I saw Acorn people.
And it was, I don't want to not answer your question, but on that issue, I mean, this was, we've been registering people and going through these sites for, you know, every election cycle, and without a doubt, we registered more people in the 2008 cycle, more than a million. So clearly, this was a nonpartisan registration effort, but we were working in low and moderate income areas, so those were new voters who were disproportionately black and brown, and therefore, you know, may have been more likely to vote for Barack Obama for good reason. But that doesn't say that it's fraud, and there's no way, I mean, what people refuse to ideologically appreciate about voter registration is that we don't have a choice once we register somebody and they sign a form. Even if they sign the form Mickey Mouse, we have to turn it in to the Board of Election.
Sure, it would
back.
Be...
Okay, this one's no good, and these 50 are good. But we didn't have the legal ability anywhere in the country to decide, okay, we know that Mickey Mouse only votes in Orlando, Florida. We knew that.
Occasionally Pasadena.
But, you know, for sure, we had to turn it in, and we knew that Troy Aikman and the entire Dallas Cowboys team weren't living in Las Vegas, where they, you know, but you still have to turn those in, and mm-hmm. they're public information.
Right.
So the Republicans just sort of, and the right wing just sort of took advantage of that, and that's registration. That's not voting. If you caught Mickey voting in 15 different places, well, that'd be one thing. But, you know, that was just part of the thing. When you ask the question about the status of Acorn, so and I left June 2nd of 2008, largely to work with many of the other organizations that were part of the overall Acorn family, particularly to expand the international organization. And what happened, the leadership and staff in 2009 under such vicious attacks sort of found a lot of their allies, I think, abandoned them, and they felt sort of wrong-footed almost every direction they did. So they made a decision to sort of dismantle the national organization and reform on a state basis. And about a dozen states did survive that decision and are still active today. But it's places you'd expect. It's New York. It's California. It's Pennsylvania, it's North Carolina, but a lot of the places in 2008 when I left, we had offices in 100 cities, 39 states, so a lot of those projects that relied on the collective strength of the organization were not able to successfully regroup and survive. And on the Acorn International side, we've grown from the countries where we were organizing, largely Canada, Mexico, and Central American countries in 2008, to where we now have about 200,000 members in Africa, Latin America, a huge membership in Canada, 80,000 members there, 35,000 members of our low-wage workers union in India, and a lot of fast-growing projects in France and the UK, England and Scotland now, which is where I just visited. So some of this you'll see in the movie, some of you don't. The movie's not an Acorn documentary. It's sort of, it is what it is for the filmmakers, but in the United States, what we're involved in is a Home Savers campaign. I mean, this will speak to many of the memories both you have, Bob, and Dan, is
mm-hmm.
It turns out because of the credit desert since 2008, the sort of very predatory contract for deed, rent to own, lease purchase, whatever you want to call these land contracts, have roared back. In Detroit, there were more land contracts filed and registered last year than there were conventional mortgages. There were only 58 conventional mortgages under CRA guidelines that were filed. So, and community after community, we've now organized committees, members in eight different cities, Youngstown, Pennsylvania, Philly, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, Memphis, Atlanta, Little Rock, etc., to try to join these families together that are in these predatory contracts to demand that they be renegotiated, and to try to do what they can do to see if laws can be changed to give people more protection who are lower-income families, either forced into these things because rents are going through the roof, as are eviction rates, as well as, in some cases, still trying to be able to navigate home ownership. So the fight goes on, but clearly in the U.S., ACORN is a national formation at the level it was for almost 40 years. Has not recovered that kind of strength.
Right. The film is called The Organizer. We're talking with Wade Rathke here on the other side of the news.
And this is WGRN 94.1, The Green Renaissance.
Absolutely. And this film will be shown at the Drexel Theater on March 22nd at 7 p.m. And I want to point out it was also the Woodstock Film Festival winner of Best Documentary in 2017. And Wade will be there, and it's $8. Make sure we plug that when we plug the station there. So, and we'll plug you back in, Wade, all right?
It's been fascinating for me to, you know, I'll be there to answer questions that people have after the film. And that's been a real, I don't want to sound like Hillary Clinton that I was on some listening tour, but it's been fascinating to get back in a lot of these communities. I was in Santa
Fe
and Woodstock and New Orleans, and obviously just showed it to our members up and down in Grenoble, Paris, Sheffield, Bristol, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Newcastle here recently, and Brighton. And the questions people have, people come out of this movie inspired. They're ready to go, but they also have very difficult questions about sort of the state of our politics and our society now. Some of those are... there's clearly a very deep felt need for more action, more organizing. People want, you know, people felt like they were part of a resistance here in the United States when I've talked to people, and now they're not sure where that resistance is and how it's being formulated. So,
Wade, wasn't one of the major reasons why you took to this form of grassroots organizing because you saw the anti-war movement and the civil rights movement on a national scale and thought it better plugged in and learned to gain victories on the local level, right? And then from, you know, in other words, from the grassroots up as opposed to being a national organization. Because lots of folks these days, they've got a computer, they're communicating with lots of other people that way, but to know how to get out and create action here in the community and wins, as you pointed out, right? Isn't that kind of...
Listening is
I know that's
key.
A lot.
If you're not meeting with people and listening to what their issues are and to what they want to do, you can't organize. And Facebook and Twitter and all those things are just brilliant communication tools, but they don't substitute for people talking to people, people meeting with each other, people coming to a decision and a consensus about taking action, and then putting their teeth on the bone and never letting them go until they win. And that's what ACORN specialized in. I learned a tremendous amount. And this is actually, I mean, one of the things that's interesting about this film, they found, the filmmakers found so much archival footage, much of which I'd never seen either. So I watched the movie with audiences seven straight times here last week. I thought, oh, my God. But every time I see something, damn, I never saw that before. But the archival footage shows is that in Welfare Rights, I learned a tremendous amount in the year I organized with Welfare Rights. It was a dynamic poor people's movement in the time of the late 60s when that was so important. It was founded in, you know, a march in Columbus, Ohio.
There you
1966, so, you know, maybe I'll have to mention that when I'm up there with you all next week.
Right.
And then, you know, have a short shelf life as well because of the opposition to welfare recipients having rights, which has continued now for 50 years. But what we try to do with ACORN is build a broader tent that more people could get under and work at from the local level.
Yeah, speaking of, I'm hoping there's some footage in the archives of our tent city, which was a couple blocks away from where we're sitting right now on GRN.
Well, anyway. I mean, definitely the tent cities make it, but, you know, you won't be surprised that the main footage we were able to find is the one we did in the ellipse behind the White House.
There you go. There you go.
So, that was a great action, one of the first real sort of national programs we put out. You know, I think for a while they did have some footage from one of the marches around the Detroit tent city. So that that may be
Detroit,
huh? Yeah. Place what I saw in the movie. That may be what it is. You'll have to tell me, Bob, if you remember it when it comes up. But but we were a bottom-up organization and grassroots in a sense, and not just community but constituency organization. So we weren't sort of just, you know, street to river and hills, and, you know, we only care about what's happening in that neighborhood. It was a constituency of low and moderate income people, and wherever they were interested, we went. And that meant community organizations, it meant helping organize low-wage worker organizations, it meant founding, you know, non-commercial radio stations. I need to find out more about WRGN. You know, we're
GRN, but that's okay. It's like green.
Okay, so. I'll learn. Like I said, I need to learn.
It's all right, Wade. We'll get it, too.
Yeah, I'll learn more about it when I'm with you all next week.
Cool.
But, you know, I still go up to Little Rock once every 4 to 6 weeks and help manage the big non-commercial, 100,000-watt non-commercial we have up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right here in New Orleans, where I am right this minute, 10 feet away from me is a low-power station, WAMF, we just put on last year. So the important thing is you put people together, you match their interests, you let people have their own voice, and then magical and powerful things happen.
How about that?
Wade, one question that's sort of bothered me is, ACORN, from my perspective, was so prematurely correct. It's almost forgotten that how important it would have been in places like Detroit. I remember being with people and taking down plywood from houses and moving family in and just being shocked by the police response, you know, from a mayor, you know, who had been a fellow traveler of the CP and progressive and, you know, the first black mayor. When you look back at that,
you've been an employee of the great United Automobile and Aerospace. Absolutely,
UAW. You know, this whole history did. It seems like it could have been so much different, and these people had been put in place by broader progressive movements, but they always seemed ultimately to work for the large, corporate capitalist banks as opposed to the people.
I do recall also in Columbus, though, and I think this is true, that after we squatted, then the dollar house program began. I think that was the timeline here. So maybe
we
picked up
those
some dust.
Those were what we were trying to create.
Absolutely.
In Detroit. It took us almost 10 years to win that program, and as you were saying, it was almost too late once we won it. And it was Sabbath. I mean, when I was up there on the doors this week, I asked several people, look, I've lost touch. What happened to that program? And it was just sabotaged. It was delayed. It wasn't implemented. It was too small. And this was the demand everywhere we were involved. And we won some, and it made a huge difference in some places. I mean, our Mutual Housing Association of New York must manage something like 3,000 units of housing now in New York City. But for the most part, this was... You know, we almost need Howard Zinn to, a new Howard Zinn to live again. The people's history of all this work isn't the one that's told. And that's why we think this documentary is something worth, it's an organizing tool for us. There's some parts of it that, you know, we sort of squirm because, oh my goodness, that's not quite right. But people get the message that if they organize, great things happen. And that was the story of ACORN. And it's still the story of what's possible for ACORN, for other community organizations, for labor, for others, if we are willing to sort of do the hard work and be persistent and not quit until we do win. the history is something that I think we need more documentaries like this. This documentary, we need more books, we need more videos, we need more of everything that sort of gets this message out to people, and that's why I'm so delighted to be on y'all's show. Right. The other side of the news, we need another side of the news almost everywhere too.
Yeah, there you go. And we just want to remind everybody that the film is on March 22nd, next Thursday, yes, at 7 p.m. at the Drexel Theater in Bexley. That's 2254 East Main. The film won the Best Documentary Feature at the Woodstock Film Festival. It'll be $8 at the door or columbusfilmfestival.eventgrid.com. And Wade Rathke will be there to talk to you and answer your questions.
And I'll have a couple of copies of my new book.
There you go.
Nuts and Bolts, Acorn Fundamentals of Organizing, for
Dr.
anybody
Bob.
Young, old, or in the middle who wants to pick it up and, see what they can do to build organizations in Columbus and other communities.
Dr. Bob, will your new book be there as well? I can't even say it.
Well, actually, the forces of Acorn were in my book on that came out right after 2016. And part of it dealt with registering people, Wade. The fact that, what bothers me so much is Acorn suffered when the people that purged a quarter of the votes, J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State in Ohio, when they systematically used computers to deregister voters, poor people, all in the urban areas. These were the nine large urban centers. Is that Acorn suffers, on what I believe was a fraudulent attack, but the people that were engaged in the mass purging of voters, poor people, people of color, went on to do quite well.
There's no question, and there is footage in the organizer that will be shown next week of some of the activities in Cleveland, and they interview Chris Harsh, who was an organizer at that time in Cleveland. He makes some very, very solid points about how aggressively, undemocratic is the best. I guess that's the friendliest word I can use. The
fascist,
Ohio
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's your show. You could say that.
Yeah.
I'll act like I'm just a middle of the road guy. But yeah. He made the point. Just you'll see the Ohio story in a part of this film as well.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. We're wrapping up. Any last thoughts, Wade?
No, I look forward to seeing both of y'all next week and anybody
else
who, I'll answer questions, but also, it's not like I'm going to run away. Anybody who wants to talk about organizing and what we need to do today, I want to hear what you got to say. Thanks
Absolutely.
For having me on the show.
Thank
look
you.
Look forward to seeing you guys.
Thank you.
All right, that's Wade Rathke. The
Once
name
again.
Of the documentary is The Organizer, presented by the Columbus Free Press, 7 to 9 p.m. on March 22nd. He'll be there to answer questions.
At the Drexel.
A legendary figure, and I've worked with a few over the years, one being Michael Harrington when I was hanging out with DSOC. But in terms of grassroots organizing, there's two. There's Wade Rathke and Saul Alinsky.
I also we probably didn't point out, or maybe we did, that it was part of the Columbus Film Festival, this is, and it's sponsored by the Free Press. And we're the other side of the news, WGRN. I'm Dan Dugan, here with Bob Fitrakis, and our lovely producer, Suzanne Patzer, his missus, and...
Come out and see this.
Thank you.
March 22nd, be there. Again, it'll offer you a massive historical perspective. I can think of nobody I'd rather talk about than Wade Rathke and what he did in the United States. Peace. Thanks.
See you now.